Good afternoon. You're listening to Let's Talk. I'm Andy Kinn. This is a special recorded conversation for Let's Talk. And this afternoon, we're going to speak with Maya Von Rossum. She's the Delaware Riverkeeper, head of the Delaware Riverkeeper Network. Good afternoon, Maya, and welcome to Let's Talk.
Thanks so much for having me back.
Good to hear you again. I know you've been on with us before over the years. What exactly is your title, and what exactly do you do with the Delaware Riverkeeper Network?
So my official title is the Delaware Riverkeeper. Mm-hmm. That sort of puts me in two capacities. One is, and the one truly nearest and dearest to my heart, is being the voice of the Delaware River and the lead advocate for the Delaware River and all the natural resources of our watershed. And it also requires me to be the leader of the Delaware Riverkeeper Network. And I have a wonderful staff of 21 people and members throughout the entire Delaware River watershed region that work with me to help give the river a voice and make sure that the main stem Delaware River, its tributary streams, and all of its natural resources and communities are given the highest level of protection possible.
Okay. How long have you been with the Delaware Riverkeeper Network? When did you get started there?
Sure. Well, I took over the organization about 26 years ago now, so in 1994. Okay. So I've been doing it for quite a while.
Right. And how did you get involved? How did you hear about it, and what made you want to join?
I learned about the organization when I was in law school. The organization was just starting out. My very first job was working as the staff attorney in the law clinic that then represented the organization in litigation. And I very quickly moved from that position to taking leadership of the organization, which at the time was struggling and was in need of some extra care and attention. And we provided it. And now we are a growing, vibrant organization that, you know, really benefits from a wonderful, wonderful community that appreciates, respects, and cares for our beautiful Delaware River watershed.
Mm-hmm. And when was it started exactly? What year did the network start, and who started it?
The Delaware Riverkeeper Network was started by a group of residents of the watershed who cared about the river and felt that the river needed a voice in our human world. At that time, there was only one other riverkeeper in the nation, and that was for the Hudson River. The residents of the Delaware River watershed were really inspired by this idea of having a riverkeeper and a person who took personal responsibility for protecting the natural resources of a river's watershed. And the idea of having a riverkeeper. And so they got together and decided to create the Delaware Riverkeeper Network and create the position of a Delaware Riverkeeper. Mm-hmm. At this point, we have helped inspire other riverkeeper and waterkeeper organizations across the nation, but we were the second to ever exist. And so we're very proud of that. And I was just, you know, very fortunate that people who worked with me thought that I would be a good fit for the position at a time when the organization needed that good fit. And so I was asked to take the position, and I did, and I have been there ever since.
So are there other organizations around in this area that you work with, or are you kind of unique?
The Delaware Riverkeeper Network, I think, is very unique. We are the only advocacy organization that works throughout the entire Delaware River watershed, engaged in advocacy, grassroots organizing, and litigation to defend and protect the Delaware River and, again, all of the natural resources and communities of the watershed. So we really are a unique organization in what we do and how we do it. We very literally are willing to be out on the point and take the difficult positions that need to be taken to give the river the level of protection and respect it needs in our human world. And of course, by protecting our river and our water and natural resources, we are protecting not just the non-human communities in our watershed, but we are protecting the human communities of the Delaware River watershed. There are about 17 million people that rely on Delaware River resources for their drinking water supply. It provides over $22 billion of annual economic benefit. Of course, wonderful recreation and family time. There are so many benefits that come from a healthy Delaware River. So by protecting the river, we are certainly protecting ourselves. And I think the Delaware Riverkeeper Network is unique in that we really are willing to take on the very difficult battles, including using the litigation tool in order to provide that highest level of protection. Now, there are many organizations that work to protect the natural resources, the water resources of various portions of our watershed, or that work at a statewide level in the Delaware River watershed states of New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Delaware. And we partner widely with those other organizations. Our partnerships are all around the natural resources and the issues that we work on. So different bodies of work, like our battle to defeat the LNG export facility proposal down in Gibbstown. We have a vibrant and effective coalition trying to defeat that project. Our coalition battling the PennEast pipeline project is different. The coalition that we work with to take on threats to the genetically unique population of Atlantic sturgeon or the important horseshoe crab populations of the Delaware Bay, they're too vibrant and important coalitions, but they all have different members. So who we work with and how we work with them depends on the issue of the moment that we're taking on.
Okay. How many people are in your organization? Is there a board or are there trustees, or how exactly does the decision-making come about?
As a 501c3 nonprofit organization, we absolutely have a board of directors, and they are very important to us, very engaged, and help provide, you know, critical oversight to what we do, right? They're a great sounding board, and you know, are an important part of the decision-making structure from an organizational administrative perspective. When it comes to the issues that we work on, the strategies we undertake, how we take on the various challenges, that really is led by myself, informed by my staff, and certainly our experts and our attorneys and the coalitions with whom we work, because that requires very issue-specific, river-specific, scientific, legal knowledge that all has to be brought together to inform any particular issue strategy that we are taking on. So my wonderful staff of 21 and the over 25,000 members that we have across the watershed and our coalition partners all help inform the different things we do, how we do them, where and when we do them, and of course provide the critical financial support we need as an organization. I mean, right now, we very literally, the oil and gas industry has been taking very strong steps to, from where I'm sitting, it looks like they are trying to wipe out the Delaware Riverkeeper Network because they see us as such an important force, and they have brought some legal actions and arguments against us to try to force us to have to pay the legal fees of the oil and gas industry in litigation that we are involved in. And so, you know, our members provide the critical support necessary to withstand those kinds of challenges. And frankly, that support is needed today more than ever, given how the oil and gas industry is literally coming after us as an organization.
Yes. Where do you get funding from? Are there, do you have fundraisers? Do you accept donations?
It's very, very important to me as the Delaware Riverkeeper and for the Delaware Riverkeeper Network that nobody ever wonder why we are undertaking the work or making the decisions that we are making. So I am very mindful of where we get our funding. We are not an organization that is taking big corporate dollars, money from the oil and gas industry, industries like that, because it's not appropriate, mm-hmm. right? It's not appropriate. And we want to make sure that people understand that whenever we render a decision as an organization. Whenever I take a position on an issue, they know that I am taking that position because it's what's right for the river and for our communities, not because of where I get my money. So as a result, we have a much more limited pool of opportunities for financial support, which is why the public donations we get are so critically, critically important. Our funds come from private donations. They come from competitive grants that we apply for from foundations. And yes, we do, we'll have fundraisers to, you know, also provide an additional stream of revenue. But it really, one way or another, the resources are really coming from the people, so that everybody understands that the only folks that we are beholden to are the Delaware River and all the communities that depend upon a healthy river and watershed.
Where is your you have a home office based in New Jersey, in Pennsylvania, or where is it?
Well, we genuinely work throughout the entire Delaware River watershed and all the watershed states, including New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, and Delaware. Our main office is located in Bristol, Pennsylvania, and it's located in that spot because it means that from my office, I can get to the top of the watershed, to the bottom of the watershed, or to either side in a single day, hold a meeting, and get back home as well. So we're strategically located to really ensure that we are in the center of the watershed and able to personally address all the needs of our watershed. Now, my staff, they all, you know, are, of course, important parts to the work, and they work from a variety of working at the main office sometimes, working at their home office sometimes. But so much of what we do requires us to be in the state capitals, in communities, meeting rooms, boardrooms, and working with community groups that more often than not, we are literally out in the world. Except, of course, right now, in you know, when we are all, you know, hunkering down to try to protect ourselves and protect others from COVID-19. And so a lot more of the work we are doing now, really all the work we are doing now, is being done virtually. But we're finding very effective ways to personally engage with communities and decision makers, although there are a lot of hurdles. And I know we'll talk about it in a little bit, but, you know, government decision makers and industry are really taking advantage of this moment to try to advance things like dirty fossil fuel projects and to tamp down on public engagement in ways that are harmful to our environment and our communities.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a website where people can reach you?
Yeah, so the Delaware Riverkeeper Network website is delawareriverkeeper.org. Okay. We also have, though, as an outgrowth of the Delaware Riverkeeper Network, we have a new organization and a new national movement that is very vibrant in the state of New Jersey called Green Amendments for the Generations. And that website is njgreenamendment.org. That's how you can get to the New Jersey effort. And that effort, again, is an outgrowth of the Delaware Riverkeeper Network work and is focused on securing constitutional environmental rights amendments, what I call green amendments, in state constitutions across our nation. And we have a very active campaign to try to educate people about the power and importance of constitutional protection of environmental rights. So if people want to learn more about that, they can go to njgreenamendment.org as well to get specifically involved in that body of work.
Mm-hmm. So you have different people in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Delaware that you work with on a regular basis about issues concerning the Delaware River?
We have a lot of long-standing traditional partners in each of our watershed states. And how and when we work with them and engage with them depends on the issue that we are working around. You know, a lot of our most powerful partners in the state of New Jersey that we work with on a regular basis include Clean Water Action, Environment New Jersey, New Jersey Sierra Club, but also the large and small watershed associations, environmental groups, and community groups that come together around particular issues. So we have a lot of long-standing regular partnerships in each of our watershed states, but we also, you know, have partnerships with organizations large and small that come up depending on the issues that we're working on.
Okay, so what's the biggest project you're working on right now that everyone's involved in?
There is no single biggest project. We have so many big projects, but, you know, amongst the most significant, it was the Delaware Riverkeeper Network's leadership that early on prevented drilling and fracking operations from coming into the Delaware River watershed. Mm-hmm. That protection was put in place in 2010 and is one of the reasons why there is no drilling or fracking anywhere within the boundaries of our watershed. But we now continue, along with our partners like Clean Water Action, Environment New Jersey, New Jersey Sierra Club, a new coalition we call Empower New Jersey, is working to take that initial moratorium protection and turn it into a permanent ban. We battle against a lot of fracked gas infrastructure. So amongst our biggest battles ongoing right now is our effort to defeat construction of the PennEast pipeline project and to defeat construction and operation of a liquefied natural gas facility in Gibbstown, New Jersey. That facility would be amongst the first of its kind in the nation, in that the liquefied natural gas would be brought to the site in trucks and rail cars through hundreds, if not thousands, of local communities spanning from central Pennsylvania across to the Delaware River into New Jersey and through New Jersey communities, and then ultimately ending up at Gibbstown from where it would be exported. That is a major effort. We have been working to try to stop the fish kills at the Salem Nuclear Generating Station, where over 14 billion Delaware River fish eggs and larvae are killed every year because of the way that facility operates. And so we've been trying to get a permit literally for 20 years now that changes the operations of that facility in a way that are protective of the fish population. We've been, you know, we're very active on the multiple threats to the genetically unique population of Atlantic sturgeon that exists in the Delaware River. This genetically unique population only exists in the Delaware River, and at this point, there are less than 300 spawning adults left. Mm-hmm. And there are all kinds of threats to that would either directly take slash kill the sturgeon fish, or that would damage critically important habitats for the sturgeon within the Delaware River system. We are, you know, very active on trying to secure increased protections for the river. So while the majority of the Delaware River has a designation that legally requires government agencies to put in place water quality, water protection standards that would support what is known as primary contact recreation, meaning you can swim in the river, you can put your face in the water, you can come into contact with the river and be assured that the legal standards are in place that would support that kind of direct contact with the water. In the Philadelphia-Camden reach of the river, that primary contact designation does not now exist, is not in place. Only what's known as secondary contact is protected, recognized, and protected by the water quality standards. So, you know, sitting in a boat and staying in the boat, not falling out, for example. And so we have a big initiative with our partners that include Environment New Jersey, Clean Air Council, Penn Future, and River Network to have a to advance a petition before the Delaware River Basin Commission that would recognize the fact that people are right now, regardless of what those standards are, people are right now swimming and engaging in the Camden-Philadelphia reach of the river in ways that are bringing them into direct contact with the water. And so we want the Delaware River Basin Commission and all the states to recognize that that primary contact recreation is right now happening and that it needs to be recognized by our government officials. And once that recognition is in place, that they need to upgrade the river protection standards that would ensure that people can feel confident that when they're engaging with the water that way, that they are doing so with standards in place that protect that kind of engagement with the water. So if folks were to go to DelawareRiverkeeper.org, there is a petition that they can sign their names to support that recognition and associated increased protection. And there's also a way that if people are actually engaging in the Camden-Philadelphia reach of the river in ways that's bringing them into contact with the water, we want them to tell us about it. Are you swimming in the river? What are you doing to engage in the river? Because we want to hear your story so we can transmit it to the agencies to show the many ways that people are engaging with the river that does bring them into direct contact with the water. So these agencies understand that whatever the agencies think should be happening, the reality is people are enjoying the river in this way, and water quality standards, river protection standards, need to recognize that and be upgraded to protect that kind of contact. So those are just some of the things we're working on. You can hear they're all big, but we have issues large and small. We have a pollution hotline number, 1-800-8-DELAWARE. When people see threats to the river or learn about new threats to the river or streams or our watershed, that they can call and report it and get help in addressing that concern.
Okay. Well, you're listening to Let's Talk. I'm Andy Kinn. This is 89.7 WDVR, and we are speaking with Maya Von Rossum, who is the Delaware Riverkeeper. So I guess you work closely with the DEP in all these states as well?
I'm sorry. It didn't come through well. Can you repeat that?
Do you work closely with the DEP in all these states too?
So in each of the watershed states, sometimes we work collaboratively with the environmental agencies. Every state has their different name. In New Jersey, right, it's the Department of Environmental Protection. Mm-hmm. But in other states, they go by a different name. Like Delaware is the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control. And in New York, it's the Department of Environmental Conservation. But yes, sometimes we work collaboratively with the agencies when they're on the right side of history when it comes to water protection. But other times we are battling against the Department of Environmental Protection and the resource agencies, either through advocacy or litigation, because we don't think that they're doing what's necessary to properly protect the river and the people. And that petition for primary contact recreation protection that I just talked about, that's an example where we don't think that the states or the regional agency called the Delaware River Basin Commission are doing what's necessary to protect the river and the people. And we want them to do something more. And so we're actively engaged in trying to get them to do that something more.
Mm-hmm. How do you advertise and promote what you're working on so the general public knows what's going on and what you do?
There are a lot of ways that we try to reach out to impacted communities. Your radio show is a perfect example of, the powerful use of the media. So we really appreciate your having me on to help spread the word. So you're an important part of our communication strategy. We also pre-pandemic, during pandemic, and post-pandemic, there's a lot of internet outreach. Okay. We try to reach out through the news outlets, right? Send when there's an important issue going on in a community, we'll send a press release to try to get the news outlets to report on it so people know to get in touch with us. We will do flyers If there's a community that's being hard hit by an issue, we will go into that community. We will share flyers. We will knock on doors. We might do a mailing, right? And again, pre, during, and post pandemic, different strategies. Right. We do webinars. We try to reach out to people to get involved so they can learn about an issue and then learn how they can get involved. I mean, we really use a whole array of strategies, and a lot of it is person to person, whether it's verbally person to person or through their own email or Facebook accounts. Because if there's a resident or community that's facing a threat to their health, to their safety, to their environment, the best way to reach out to others in that community to get them engaged in the issue mm-hmm. is through their yeah. own friends and neighbors. And so we will encourage those who are involved in our work and our issues to reach out to their friends and neighbors, tell them about what we are doing, and urge them to get involved.
Mm-hmm. We have a few minutes left. Can you tell us about your book, The Green Amendment, that came out in 2017?
The Green Amendment, Securing Our Right to a Healthy Environment. I'm very proud that it won an important award. And that really is about advancing this idea that in states across our nation, while we protect the rights to free speech, the rights to freedom of religion, even the right to bear arms in the Bill of Rights section of our state and federal constitutions, we don't recognize and protect the rights of the people to clean water and clean air, a stable climate, and healthy environments. And that as a result, our environment is not protected as firmly and powerfully as it should be. The book, The Green Amendment, is an outgrowth of our work at the Delaware Riverkeeper Network. We are in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. We have successfully advanced this idea in powerful ways. And to try to inspire and support this new Green Amendments for the Generations national movement, which is about securing constitutional green amendments in every state across our nation. New Jersey is one of the states where we have a very powerful coalition that is learning about and spreading the word on this important idea of constitutional environmental rights, green amendments. Mm-hmm. There is a proposal to add a green amendment to the New Jersey state constitution that people who are interested in this idea should really learn about, reach out to their legislators, express their opinions about, and reach out to their local town councils and urge their town councils to pass a resolution to express an opinion about whether or not the people of New Jersey, should have a constitutional right to clean water and clean air, just like they have a constitutional right to freedom of speech and to bear arms.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Maya Von Rossum. And the website again is DelawareRiverkeeper.org, correct?
Correct.
Is there a phone number or something where people could reach you?
So if people want to call the office,
right.
215-369-1188. If they want to send me an email, mm-hmm. Keeper, KEEPER, mm-hmm. at DelawareRiverkeeper.org is also a great way to get in touch and to get involved.
Okay. Thank you very much. You're listening to Let's Talk. I'm Andy Kinn. We've been speaking with Maya Von Rossum, the Delaware Riverkeeper, and you can check out the Let's Talk WDVR Facebook page also for all this information. Thank you very much, Maya, for speaking with us on Let's Talk.
Thank you so much for your great show and to help get people engaged in protecting our environment.
Thank you.